you bring your Bible tonight? All right, that's the right people then, just making sure. Got two passages of scripture that I want you to go to tonight, Philippians 4:19 and James 1:17. I want to begin speaking this evening on a message that I'm titling, The Source for Our Course. The Source for Our Course. I think in people's lives, there's a striving that takes place in everyone's life at some point where they're just trying to get ahead and be a better them. Maybe people who don't even know yet what's missing in their life, there's this, I mean, it's why there are billions of dollars, not millions, but billions of dollars spent every year on self-help books, because people want to be better versions of themselves. There's a saying you've probably heard before. I had to look up the origin of it. The saying is that there's a God-shaped hole in every person. You ever heard that before? It actually comes from, I looked it up, and it's a paraphrase of a French mathematician and Christian philosopher, Blaise Pascal. And he recognized something in Scripture, and that we're going to talk about this evening, but something that the Word has taught all along. There's a book that has a lot of his quotes in it. It was an unfinished work, but it was called Thoughts. And what he said was this. He said, there's an infinite abyss, and in this infinite abyss, it can be filled only with an infinite and immutable object. And then he said, in other words, by God himself. There is nothing else that can fill this hole in us but God himself. And God declares himself all throughout Scripture. We see this. He just declares himself to be the source. Isn't that right? Philippians 4:19 says this. It says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, it's this verse in particular is some of the clearest biblical declaration where we're to look to God as the source for our supply. Paul assures believers that the God who had faithfully supplied him would also supply their every need. And the emphasis isn't just that God gives things, but that he is the source of provision. There's a couple of key things in this particular passage of Scripture. Number one, this point that says, my God shall supply, it shows us the promise centers on God as a provider. He's the source from whom provision flows. Sometimes people read this Scripture, though, and you know, let me pause for just a second and say this. Sometimes people think of this Scripture as a monetary scripture alone. Because in context, the Apostle Paul was specifically talking about having a need met in his life. And so we oftentimes will equate that with just a financial need. But God is not just the source when you have some bill that needs to be paid. God is the source. How many of you are familiar with the doxology? Now, I didn't even know what a doxology was. I didn't know a doxology from a dachshund. Growing up in my Pentecostal church, but I went to a denominational church. And many of you, if you went to a denominational church, remember the doxology, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Y'all remember that? Well, the writer of that song, it was written in the 1600s, but the writer of that song understood this principle that all blessings, all provision flows from God, our Heavenly Father. So if there's something in our lives, this God-shaped hole that we have, if there's some void in our lives, whatever that may be, God is who you and I are to look to be the filler of that void. Taking the broken things in our lives, and all of us, you know, we have different backgrounds. I don't know about you, but when I came to the Lord, we all have our particular reasons. Some people come to the Lord, they've been broken, and they've been in horrible relationships, and they're just hurting. And they don't know what it's like to experience real love. And in a broken moment, they fall on their face somewhere and they cry out to God. Sometimes even heard testimonies of people that say, I don't even know if there is a God, but God, if you exist, I need to know it. And God will reveal himself and fill that hole in their lives. God is the source for humanity. So my God shall supply all your need. God's supply extends to every legitimate need that we have, spiritual, emotional, physical, relational, material, all of our needs. The principle is that every area of our lives, God is the source that we are to look to when we have some kind of void. You need healing. He's the source. Amen. Well, that was weak. I wasn't sure if you believed it there for a second. If you need healing, he's the source, right? If you need peace, how many of you know there's plenty to be had? He's the source. If you need to experience love, well, there is no greater love than love himself. He is the source. We need to understand that God is our source in every area. According to, the scripture says, to his riches. So God doesn't supply to us out of a limited resource. He's still El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. He's the all-sufficient one. So his resources are not limited. When we come to God, he doesn't pull his pockets out and say, I'm sorry, I just have no more love left to give. If you'd have caught me last week, I had some healing left in me. God has an abundant supply for anyone who will come to him, and he provides because he's the source that we're to look to. His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So every blessing that we receive comes through our relationship with Christ and the abundance that's made available by him. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything that Jesus paid for belongs to us right now. Man, when I got that revelation, when I was sick and came to Rhema sick and got the revelation that God wanted me healed, I didn't get healed immediately. It didn't happen immediately, but I stayed with the word. And I'd listen to teaching. I'm so thankful that the Hagans hired me to work in media duplication when I was a student. Maybe they didn't even look at my resume. That's how I got by. I don't know. I was working in media duplication, so I'd go to class and I'd get 3 hours of teaching, and then I'd go over and I'd work in media duplication, and they allowed us while we were putting together the materials to listen to anything we wanted. So I got everything. I knew this much. I'm going to get everything I can on healing. And I would feed on healing every day. Every day I would go in there and I would play some audio on healing. And one day, I didn't even know when it happened, literally. I was sitting across the table from some people, and one of my coworkers was a little bit slower than the rest of us at putting things together. And we were just having a regular conversation. In the background was playing a teaching, and we're listening to that, but we're also having this conversation, talking about, hey, do you collect things? And somebody's like, I used to collect baseball cards. And I used to collect this. And this slow girl, she hadn't said anything yet. And so we said to her, we called her name. We said, what do you collect? And somebody else piped up, dust. I thought that was funny. Sorry. While we were sitting there and we were just talking and this teaching is going on, it finally got down in my spirit. And all of a sudden, every symptom was gone. I didn't even know when it happened. I just realized in that moment, the problem I had was this visual thing. And I could see clearly with no problems anymore. I would go to class and it was such a distraction because my vision didn't work right. Sister, if I was looking at you, it was like everything behind you came into the forefront. And it was just super distracting. And all of a sudden, all of that was gone. Well, the same God that healed me then, other people were getting healed every day. They'd go to healing school, they'd go to class, and somebody'd shout and give a testimony. This weekend, I got healed, glory to God. Went to the prayer line at church the other night, I got healed. And I'm just over there, I'm like, well, I know he's a healer. I know he didn't run out. When it finally hit, the entrance of God's word, the scripture says, gives light. Once light comes, faith is there. And when the light went on, glory to God, there was still an abundant supply at the source. And that same source that I was able to connect with is the same source that if you need something from him, it's available for you and I right now. If Jesus bought and paid for it, it belongs to us as believers. Amen? But God, not only is God the source, the scripture tells us God is the source of everything good. James 1:17, it says this, it says, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good and every perfect gift. Now, the context of James chapter 1 is trials and temptations, but the unchanging character of God, that he's unchanging. Believers face difficult circumstances, and what James is saying is those things are not things that God caused. You read in verses 13 through 16, it says, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God. God cannot be tempted by evil, neither does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when his desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin when it's full grown brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. He says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. In today's modern vernacular, he might have said, don't get it twisted. Every good and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father. All this other stuff, not God. And if we don't understand that, if our previous teaching, our background, if we don't gain the knowledge that every good, and if it's good, if it's perfect, it's God. If it's bad, it's me or the enemy. My flesh kicking up or the enemy drawing me away because of my own flesh. But it's not God. God doesn't tempt us. You know, I went to a church for a while that used to teach that God would put things on you to teach you something. Any of you heard that before? God would put sickness on you to teach something, which I just don't understand. Like, just as a rational thinker, if God put something on you to teach you, wouldn't you want to be a quick learner? If that was true, wouldn't you be like, get me the book? You know, if I said to you, hey, you know, I want you to learn how to weld, but every day that you don't know how to weld, I'm going to come behind you and I'm going to whack you in the back of the head with something. Wouldn't you learn to weld? If God was putting things on us to teach us, why not just learn the lesson? It doesn't even make sense that God would be doing it to teach me something. That doesn't even make sense. Doesn't make Bible sense. Doesn't make rational sense. Or if that's the case, if God put it on you, I wouldn't spend one thin dime going to a doctor, because which one of them could get it off me? You know, doctor, I hear you're a specialist. God put this on me, but I'm sure you can get it off. No. You'd save your money. Go to Disney. God doesn't put things, but if we have this thinking that God does good and bad, he brings good and bad. What is it in Matthew? In my Pentecostal church, they used to teach in a bad way. Like if somebody would go through a trial or something, they'd say, well, you know, God causes it to rain on the just as well as the unjust. Like, you know, if it was raining, they thought thunderstorms, and it's bad news for everybody. But rain in the Bible is a good thing, I found out. And what about that sun that he's causing to be on both the just and the unjust? No, what's that? What that's saying is, because God is a source of good, if it's good and it's perfect, even people that are not born again, God's bringing as much good into the lives of people as he can, because it's not the badness of God that leads men to repentance, it's the goodness. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell him, he's a good God. We need to understand that a good God who has a supply, he that spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things, not some things? If God has access to it, it's good and it's perfect, he'll give it to you because he's the source. That's why the devil works so hard to convince people that God is bad, or that God's teaching you something with this. 1,000 times no. Every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Amen. James' point is clear. God is never the source of evil. He's always the source of everything good and perfect because his nature never changes. His goodness never changes, and he will always be our source. His goodness never changes, and he'll always be our source. The whole counsel of the word points us to a father who's good and who's a supplier. Psalm 23, you know this. Psalm 23, 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." 2 Corinthians 9, 8 and 10 says, "God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work." An abundance for every good work. Now, does this include, one of the things I love about this ministry is they've got a balance for everything. A scripture like this, we understand it means abundance, but that includes meeting our needs. But sometimes people get the idea that God meets our needs, but he has to do it a specific way. It has to be monetarily. I've got a need, and God's going to bring me money. You know, they think of only Jehovah Posta, the God who blesses through the mailbox. God's got to bring me money because I have this need. But the number of times that God, because he's a supplier, because he's a source, has brought things into my life that I had a financial need, and it wasn't money that he brought. I'll tell you a story, kind of funny thing. I found out that I owed the government some money from a past military expense that I had that I didn't know about it. Just one day, a letter shows up in the mail, and they tell me I owe a few $1,000s. And I'm like, wow, you know, I went out there looking for Jehovah Posta. I didn't know the devil was going to show up. No. So I got this bill from the federal government for several $1,000s. And so I told Sarah, I said, I'm just going to pray about it, and I'm going to write him a letter. So I prayed about it. I wrote him a letter, and I said, I didn't know I owed this money. I'm sorry. I'm a veteran. I serve my country. Could you excuse it? I got a letter back that was pretty short, but it was basically, okay. They just excused it. Right? So everything is not about money, right? You've heard it from here before. God's not raining money out of heaven. But he's a source, so he'll meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory. But you know, people get caught up on things like money because they get the idea that money is a source. You know, a job is not a source. Your job is not your source. The government is not our source. Those are channels. And God will use channels to bring us source. He will bring resource to us through channels. This job, you know, here's what happens if we put pressure on the channel or expectation on the channel. We start getting disgruntled if the channel isn't giving us what my job is not paying me enough. You're not limited to your job because we have a source. Amen. My spouse is not giving me enough love. They're just a channel. God can show you a love like you've never known. People are not our source. But if we think they're our source, we'll put pressure on them to do things. But pressure is not the way that we get things done when we have a source. No pressure coming boldly to the throne of grace. Right there, I was preaching a lot better than you, amen. I said, there's no pressure coming to the throne of grace. Amen. Because we're walking into the room with the source, the one from whom all blessings flow. Amen. If God is the source for everything, then everything is just a channel. Your paycheck can be a channel, but it won't be your source. The government, the education. When I was a student, I came here and I was, man, it was so great, so rich. The teaching was so good, still is. Man, that Blood Covenant class over there is fire. No, I'm just kidding, that's my class. I'm just kidding, that's my class. I just did that for my benefit, but stop, my boss is here. When I came here, oh, I loved the classes. Everything was so rich and so good. And I was saying to God, I wish I would have come sooner. And he said, you came here at the exact right time. And then he showed me the job that I had at the time required a bachelor's degree. And if I would have come earlier, I wouldn't have had my bachelor's degree at that time. But because of the time that I came, I did have the degree and I was able to get the job. And that job was my channel for God to bring me resources because he was my source. He provided that job. My education is just a channel. You go to school, get all the knowledge you can. Like, you've heard Brother Hagin say, don't educate your mind at the expense of your spirit. But he didn't say, don't educate your mind. Isn't that right? Learn some things. Amen. Moving right along. You sound real happy about that. Yourself. You're not your source. Imagine if you're your source and then I provide for my family. I'm kidding myself if I think I'm the one providing for my family. I do my best to put my hand to something, but the Lord blesses it and provides for my family through me, and I'm just the channel. I've taught my kids that. They can come to me. They know that I'll give them things. I'll provide things for them. But I've taught them to trust God as their source because my resource is limited and his is not. I'm belaboring this first point. We're probably going to teach on this at least one more time. But I'm belaboring this point because unless we realize we check off all the boxes, all these other things are simply channels that the source will use to bring goodness, every good and every perfect gift into our lives. The channel is just the way that God gets it to us. And here's the reason that we have to know that those are just channels. Then we won't get shook if we go to work one day and they say, hey, no more job here. We're closing down the factory. That's only a problem if my job is my source. You're trying to pull on some other person, a husband or a wife, they have to love me and I got to get love from them and I got to feed them. And they leave. It just rocks your world. But if they're just a channel that God is pouring his love through to you, they go home to be with the Lord before you, and you think, how am I going to make it? The one that loved you through them is still on the throne and loves you every bit as much as he did when they were still here. It was hard for me to see my dad go home early. He went home too early for me. He's probably okay with it. It was hard. The Lord had to help me to look to him as my source. That he was my comforter. That he was my peace. Amen. When I needed to call my dad for something and I couldn't call my dad, talk things through to him, with him, I could still talk to the Lord. So gracious, so kind, and so much smarter than my dad. My dad was a smart man. You know, when he went home to be with the Lord, my dad had an awful disease. It was a dementia-related disease. It was awful, and I was struggling with that. God will use people to bring into your life the peace that you need. When dad left, I was sad about it, and I was talking to someone. I was actually talking to Brother Yoder, and I said, you know what I'm holding on to now is I said that my dad now has his mind back. And you know what he said to me? This is the Lord speaking through a person as a channel. He said, oh, Brother Rob, it's better than that. He knows things now he never knew. I was hurting because I didn't expect my dad to be gone. And I was at a basketball game here during Winter Bible Seminar. And my dad was getting ready to slip out of the earth. And Pastor Hagin didn't know me from nothing. He walked over to me because he had heard about it, because I was a part of the Rhema family and somebody had shared it with him. And he told me that he was praying for me. He told me how hard he understood what I was going through. He just loved on me. But I can't pull on Pastor Yoder or Pastor Hagin all the time to meet that need in my life. They were just a channel for the source. And the source wants to pour blessings into our lives like that all the time. But as long as we've got our eyes fixed on channels, our world gets rocked anytime the channel changes. But God's a channel changer. You remember when Elijah went down to the brook and the ravens were feeding him? I used to preach a sermon because we had pigeons back home, not a bunch of ravens flying around. And I said, what happens if someone shoots your pigeon? Now, I've hunted a lot and I've never had no kind of bird. I did have a squirrel jump from one tree to another and miss a branch and fall dead than a mackerel right in front of me and my brother. We thought he was dead. Put him in my brother's bag. Turns out he wasn't. That got rowdy real quick. I've never had a bird bring me a bologna sandwich. But Elijah's going down there and he's at the brook and he's got water and he's got food and the brook dries up. But God just changed the channel. And he said, I want you to go down here to this widow and you'll be sustained there. Isn't that right? Because the widow, the ravens, the brook are not the source. Oh, come on. I said, they're not the source. He is the source. And we say, praise God, to whom all blessings, through whom all blessings flow. All of our blessings, if we'll get the understanding that channels are not my decision makers and channels don't dictate whether or not I'm going up or down, God is my source, then I'm staying with Him. He's not causing me problems. He's not my difficulty. He is every good, every perfect gift is coming down from Him because He is a good God. And He's a provider for us. He is my source and my constant supply. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches, not some channel. And He's got lots of resources. Amen. Ooh, 7:57. Pastor Hagin says this is hour of power. You better stand up right now. I won't get in trouble this way. We'll talk about this again. Y'all doing okay? Recognize that God is your source, even when channels change. When our faith is in the source instead of the channel, we'll have confidence that God will always provide. Bow your heads tonight. You may be here tonight and you may be dealing with something in your life. Maybe you got the worst news possible today at work. Maybe you came in here discouraged, but I want you to be encouraged that God's got something for you. There's another channel. There's another source. Father God, people that are in here tonight that may be hurting, may be struggling, I thank you for a revelation by your Spirit that everything is going to be okay. That you're still El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. That you never left them, you never failed them, you're right here to meet every need in their life. An abundant supply. Those that might be watching online, you might be discouraged tonight. You might say, maybe you're saying, I don't even know anything about this, Jesus. Maybe you were just flipping through on social media. I want to tell you, if you'll ask Jesus to come into your life, Jesus came, God sent His only Son to die for you. And all you have to do is accept Him. And if you'll accept Him, God becomes your full supply. Every void or every need in your life, you just say, come into my life, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I repent and I want to follow you. God, reveal yourself to me, and I believe He'll do just that. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, when we leave here, our altar care workers are coming down. The ladies will be to my right, to your left. The men will be to my left, to your right. If you're a man, we just ask that you come over here and the men will pray for you if you've got any need in your life. If you need to be born again tonight, you need to rededicate your life, you need a no-so experience, you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, the evidence of speaking in other tongues. You say, I don't know about all that. Well, people saw you parked on the parking lot. They already think you do. If you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, if you need to be born again, you need to rededicate your life. Whatever it is you need, when we leave, we want you to come down here and they'll pray with you and they'll help you. They'll believe God with you. Is there anything else before we close, Pastor? Anything? Guys, we love and appreciate you so much. Be a blessing to your church family. Love on your church family. Be back here on Sunday. Glory to God. Greet one another before you leave. God bless you. Have a great evening.